Bruchim Habayim to Parsha Insights, Parshas Nayach. Wow, a real Bruchim Habayim. Back after a number of weeks. Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Yemei Teshuva, Yom HaKippurim, Sukkot, the second day, Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah, Tovshin Pei Vav, and here we are with Parshas Nayach, Parsha Insights. The Shir is said, L'Zecher Nishmas, Ula Ilan Nishmas, Rebecca Basarina, and Leon Ben Rachel. Be'ezus Hashem and Neshama Tahira should have a lichtig Gan Eden. It's always wonderful to be in the Heichal, to be able to give the shir each and every week. But after not having it for a few weeks and being able to be back and to be able to start the shir, now the first one of Tovshin Pei Vav, we should talk of be zoicha to learn Chamishe Chumshe Taira, to be able to let it change us, make us better people, allow us to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam even better, to be able to steig in our dzeikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's really, really wonderful. I look around and I say, Bruchem HaBoyim B'Shem Hashem. Great to see everyone as we start Parsha Insights, Parsha Snayach. I do want to mention, obviously, we didn't have a shir this past week, Bereshis, but certainly want to just take a moment to mention something that we said, even though it is a shir for Parshas Nayach, just a couple minutes, if I may, on Bereshis. It's something that we touched upon in the afternoon shir, in our Parsha shir Shabbos afternoon. I'd like to mention and then maybe add just one thing before we then take it to Parshas Nayach. We talk about the fact that histakel b'raisa bara alma, which literally means that a person looks into the Torah, and when you look into the Torah, it's the blueprint of the world. One looks at the Torah, and one can see, like a blueprint, everything mamish encapsulated in that blueprint. I remember a number of years ago seeing, I believe it was from the great Maggid, Reb Shalom Shadron, Dechatzali, we call it Shavracha, a very powerful mashal that we did mention this past week. And I think, as I said, it's certainly something that's worth mentioning again. There's another way to understand that the Torah is the blueprint of the world. Imagine a person who were building a tall structure, let us say 100 feet high, and instead of building it 100 feet high, they ended up building it 99 feet and 10 inches. It was off by 2 inches. You could imagine that's not really a big deal at all. Whatever purpose the building of 100 feet would serve, 99 feet and 10 inches in all likelihood won't make a difference really at all. Just 2 inches probably won't have any effect in any way, shape, or form on the end product. But if a person uses an architect, and they have a blueprint of that building on a piece of paper, and they make a mistake on the blueprint of 2 inches, when an architect makes a mistake on a blueprint of 2 inches, in the full scale life size of the building, that's not a mistake of 2 inches. That could end up being a mistake of dozens of feet. For every centimeter represents a number of feet. Every inch may represent 60 feet, so 2 inches would represent 120 feet, and that's an extraordinary difference. So 2 inches on the end product, the life size full scale, may not make much of a difference, but 2 inches in the blueprint, that could have very grave consequences. And that's what it means. Histakel b'raisa bara alma, the Torah is our blueprint. And just like it could be catastrophic to make a mistake on a blueprint, for that represents a much larger mistake on the full-scale actual building, that's the way we have to view every mitzvah, every chayk, every nuance of the Torah. It is the blueprint of the world, and one has to be careful not to make a mistake, because making a mistake on a blueprint could have extraordinary consequences and really, really grave ramifications. And that's a topic that we've spoken about many times. people thinking that they can, based on where they live and the climate or their society or who their neighbors are, start Cholula watering down. You know it's a pshat we've mentioned countless times. It was one of my father's, Atzal's, favorite pshatim. Listen to it well. It's an absolute gem. I know we've said it countless times. From the great Reb Shamshon of Fall Hirsch, that the first question a person's going to be asked after 120 gezunti years, kavata itim latayru, which people translate to me, we're going to be asked, did you set aside times each and every day to study Torah? But he explains it in a powerful, powerful way that the question is also going to be, kavata itim latayru. Did you establish the itim, the places you live, the times that you live, the Torah, to fit my Torah, or Chalila Kavata Torah Le'itim? Did you take the Torah and work on the Torah to fit your lifestyle? Chalila, Chalila, that a person should ever live Kavata Torah Le'itim, taking the Torah and conforming it and making it fit their lifestyle. Well, no, Chalila. Sometimes there are difficulties, sometimes there are challenges. It doesn't mean that person is allowed to take the Torah and make even a minor mistake in the blueprint. But rather, the question we have to ask ourselves in our sojourn in the world is, Kavata Itim La Torah. Did we make sure to take the Itim, where we lived, when we lived, the people that surrounded us, and all of the situation to fit and conform perfectly to the Torah of the Ribbono Shel Olam? That's a very, very powerful question. It's something that I said this past Shabbos we could ask ourselves very often. Certainly top on the list in the area of tzniyos. Sometimes when it comes to modesty, specifically modesty in dress and tzniyos, so a person realizes there are things that are proper and things that must be done, but to start rationalizing and justifying based on the itim, whatever that might be, that's not something a person's allowed to do. It also has tremendous ramifications in the world of business. Proper yashrus, proper ethics, that can change because of the itim, or maybe it's regarding vacationing and how a person behaves when they're, so to speak, away on that vacation. Again, in all the three situations I just mentioned, and there are myriad others, you have to make sure that it's never kavata Torah to fit your itim, but always kavata itim, that you take your itim, meaning the times and everything, to fit the Torah. That's what a person always has to make sure, that it's kavata itim to fit the Torah. Because as we said a moment ago, if there's a mistake of even just an inch or whatever it might be on the blueprint, Histako by Raisa Bora Alma, that could have extraordinary catastrophic ramifications. The other Dover from Bereshis I'd like to quickly mention before we move on to Nayach is really based on this past week's TMT. In 2 minutes of Torah, we said, but Baruch Hashem, a number of people got back to me and told me they found it to be very inspiring. It's based on Rapam, the Torah Vedas, Rosh Hashiva, Zechetzatik, the Kodesh of Racha, pointing out that if you take a look on a number of days of creation, it seems like that which was originally created ended up being changed. If you take a look on the first day, that light the Ribbono Shel Olam created, it was such an intense spiritual light. The Ribbono Shel Olam said that's for the tzaddikim in the next world, and that light became smaller lights for us to be able to enjoy. But 2 days later, the tree was told that the bark should taste like the fruit, and the earth disobeyed that command, and we ended up having fruit that tastes like the fruit, but not the bark. And you find on a number of occasions, let us take an example of the sun and the moon. They were created as two great luminaries, but the moon complained, and as a result, it was diminished in size. So if one would take a look, already in the first few days of creations, we see time and time again that something was created, but then, so to speak, for one of the reasons that we mentioned, it was changed. The Rambam says it's to teach us a very powerful lesson. Sometimes we want to undertake a project, and we do. But there might be what we perceive as a setback. or a reversal. And the human psyche is to become dejected, to become maybe even depressed over what you thought would be and didn't end up materializing. Rambam says the Ribbono Shel Olam is teaching us, take a look at Bria'as HaOlam, whether I mentioned that first light on the first day or the third day, the bark of the tree, or the fourth day, the sun and the moon. On each of those days, so to speak, something was changed. There was a reversal, as if there was, quote, end quote, a setback from what was, and the Ribbono Shel Olam then made either different lights or depending on the different days. Yet if you take a look at the end of creation, what does the Ribbono Shel Olam say? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked at Kol Asher Asa, everything he made, and he said, Toiv Ma'od. The Ribbono Shel Olam didn't just say Toiv. The Ribbono Shel Olam said, Toiv Ma'od. It's very good. It's exceedingly good to teach us, says Rav Tam, this lesson. Don't view something negatively. Don't view something as it's a setback or a reversal, and allow yourself to become depressed or dejected, but rather view it, if you can, in an optimistic way, in a positive way. Look at the good. Look at so much of the good. And that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam says at the end of the creation that he looked at everything and he saw that it was Toiv Ma'od, not just good, but exceedingly good, very good, to teach us, says Rav Tam, this very, very important, critical, and profound lesson. That in life, we take upon ourselves projects and different things that we want to accomplish, and sometimes we feel there was a setback, there was a reversal. Don't allow it to get us. Don't allow it to create us to be dejected or depressed, but rather look for the good, look for the positive, see how much you did accomplish. Continue and tell yourself, Toiv Ma'od, Toiv Ma'od, Toiv Ma'od. And I, on Shabbos, thought perhaps that explains one last note. We know that Adam in Parshas Bereishis was given the job of naming each of the creatures, each of the animals, and he looked into the future at the essence of the animal and called the donkey the chamor, the lion the ari, based on their character traits and looking into the future and seeing what their mahus, what their essence would be. When it came time for Adam to refer to himself, he said, call me Adam because you took me from the Adama, from the ground. And many have asked, that represents your essence and my essence? Our essence of being Adam, and Atam Kriyam Adam, everyone's called Adam, is simplified in the fact that we were taken from the Adama. That's our essence, hence he said, call us Adam. So I was thinking, based on the pshat we just said from Rav Tam, maybe it's that lesson once again. I don't do much planting. I don't know a tremendous amount about agriculture. We're not really farmers over here, but you could imagine that there are many times somebody plants something, and the results are fabulous, luscious fruit, rows and rows of something fantastic. And I'm sure there's a fair number of times that a person plants something and nothing, dismal, despondent, muddy, washed up, nothing proper grew. There are many times that planting will lead to success, and many times that it won't. Maybe that's what Adam meant. He looked into the future and he saw, like Rav Tam said, that there will be many things that we take upon ourselves, and sometimes there will be wonderful results. Sometimes there will be setbacks and reversals. But the point is to try to respond by saying, Toiv Ma'od, Toiv Ma'od. It may even be learning from an experience and using it to build and to forge and to go further. Maybe that's the pshat. Adam looked and he saw, that's the life of man. That's the life of man, like the Adama. Just like when it comes to the Adama, many times there's success. Wow, that's an amazing tree with luscious fruit. That's fabulous corn and incredible row of wheat. And many times it will be absolute failure, dismal loss of money, whatever it might be. So Adam looked and he saw that very often that's the way life is. And therefore he said, call me Adam, for our life is very much in concept like the Adama. And yet the lesson for us is to respond to the best of our ability and keep saying, Toiv ma'oid, not just Toiv ma'oid, ma'oid, ma'oid. And of course, I'm guessing, I'll use the line, we haven't said it in a few weeks, whether you're listening to me live in the Heichal, and I'm looking at all of you now, or you're listening now live on the phone, or you'll Bezos Hashem be from the many who will hear the recording when it's sent out. I'm sure that many of you want to yell and call out right now that if you take a look, it says Toiv Ma'oid. How do you spell the word Ma'oid? Mem Aleph Dalid. If you rearrange those three letters, Mem Aleph Dalid, you get the very word Adam. And maybe that's what Adam was reminding us and telling us. We are like the Adama. Sometimes it's wonderful. Sometimes there's a reversal or setback. But try to use it in a way to look at the positive. Again, it's a challenge. It's not always so easy. But that's a chelik of what life's about. That's why Adam called himself Adam from the word Adama. And the response we should try is Toiv Ma'oid. And Ma'oid Mem Aleph Dalid, when you rearrange the letters, spells the word Adam. And that actually leads us into the first pshat I want to talk about in Parshas Noach. If you take a look in the very beginning of Parshas Noach, the pasuk says that it was time for the world that needed to be destroyed. Ki hishkes kol basar es darkai. Everyone, everything became corrupt. And right before that, in the beginning of Parshas Noach, and I think this opening pshat on Parshas Noach is a fabulous segue from what we just said in Bereishis about our life and being Adam and Ma'oid and Toiv Ma'oid. The pasuk says, "Vatimalei ha'aretz chamos," that everything and the earth became filled with robbery. If you take a look at Rashi, take a look at Rashi, Rabbi Yisai, take a look at Rashi on the words "Kimala aretz chamos." Rashi says, "Loinechtam gezardinam ella al hagezel." Wow. Rashi tells us that the verdict and their verdict was only sealed once they so descended into Gezel, theft and robbery, etc. Right? I just read to you Rashi. But Timalei Aretz Chamos, and Rashi says it's referring to Gezel, and the Gezar Din only had a chasima for the world to be destroyed because of Gezel, because of robbery and theft. Now, one has to wonder on this explanation of Rashi, and it's something that many talk about. I'd like to share with you quickly the pshat from the Sfasemes, Zuchusa Yagar Aleinu. Of course, theft and robbery, Gezela, is terrible. Terrible, terrible, b'chol muvin d'mili. But you're telling me that it was specifically the sin of Gezel that finalized their judgment? The Dor HaMabul, and I see that you're looking very intently, the Dor HaMabul was steeped and guilty of many severe averas, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and considerably many others. And yet the decisive factor in destroying the world was chamas, which is robbery. And Rashi goes so far as to say that's what sealed their verdict. Again, make no mistake, Gezela is terrible. But you're dealing with a Dor HaMabul that was steeped in Gilui Arayos and Avodah Zarah and other averos. And those things did not seal the fate and the verdict for the world to be destroyed, but it was specifically Gezela? So it's an explanation we've said a number of times. It's so powerful. The Sfasemes tells us, you're right, on the surface, Gezela means that I unlawfully took another person's property. I took something that wasn't mine. But in a broader, a far broader sense and concept, the Heilige Sfasemes tells us, Gezela means something else. Not that you stole from others. You stole from yourself. You stole from yourself. Leinechtam gizardinam el ala Gezel, when people ended up stealing from themselves, and he explains, the Ribbono shel Olam created the world, and he gave a person koichos, abilities, capabilities, talents, resources, And every one of these things are entrusted to every Adam, kol echad ve'echad. And why did the Ribbono shel Olam give them to you? And I'm looking around the room over here, and I've said it many times over Yom Tov. You know how inspiring it is to look out at the Heichal and see people who really use, I mentioned it many times over Yom Tov, people who use their koichos, their talents, their resources, the gifts that the Ribbono shel Olam gives them. It's very nice that you have them, but the Ribbono shel Olam gave them to you to use it. Not to abuse it and squander it, to use it l'avodas habayrei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that, and the intention was that everything should be l'saken olam, to repair the world, to elevate the world, to bring about a tremendous ribui koyt shamayim. When a person does not use their strengths, when they misuse it, and chalul, it's used in a way contrary to what the Ribbono shel Olam intended, that's a form of gezel. Not that you stole in the legal sense from someone else, but that you stole from yourself. You were destructive. You were selfish. Might I add, you stole in the sense that the Ribbono shel Olam gave you something, and you didn't use it. You committed me'ila, misappropriation. And the Sfas-Emes and others go on to explain that there are kama v'kama averis, but the root of all of those averis is gezela. Not necessarily the gezela in the physical legal sense that I took from someone, but that you stole from yourself. You have talents. You're listening to me? You have kaychas, you have abilities. You have resources, you have gifts. Everyone called echad ve'echad is different. A mission in life is to hone them, to use them, to find them. L'avodas habayrei. I'm speaking to myself and I'm speaking to all of our choshev and choshev listeners. Don't be in violation of gezela. Le'inechdom gezardinam el ala gezel, because the root of all of those averis is stealing from yourself, misappropriating the gifts and the resources that should have been used to bring about Ribui Kvayt Shemayim. I once explained, every morning when we say Birchas HaTorah, the first thing that we say is, Yevarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. And of course, in the simple explanation, the words mean Yevarechecha Hashem, that may Hashem bestow all of His blessings upon you, V'yishmerecha, may those blessings be safeguarded, from the word Shmira. In other words, they should be safeguarded and not taken from you. They shouldn't be stolen. That's the way to understand the word Yevarechecha Hashem V'yishmerecha. But based on this pshat of the Sfas-Emes, couldn't we also explain it in the fashion of Yevarechecha Hashem, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu bless us, may the Ribbono shel Olam, the source of all blessing, give us all the kaychas, the talents, the abilities that we need. V'yishmerecha, safeguard it from yourself. V'yishmerecha, safeguard it from yourself. Don't allow it to be stolen from you. Don't be in violation of gezel from yourself. V'yishmerecha, every morning have in mind, additionally, Ribbono shel Olam, please grant me the resources and the talents, and I hope to use them. L'avodas habayrei, be'ezras Hashem, b'siyata d'shmaya, v'yishmerecha. Safeguard that they shouldn't be stolen from me. I shouldn't be in violation of stealing. I shouldn't be in violation of stealing from myself and misappropriation and not using those gifts and those talents that were entrusted to each and every one of us to elevate the world. V'yishmerecha, don't let me steal from myself. And that's a theme that we've spoken about many, many times, the importance of recognizing the talents that you have and utilizing them to elevate the world and to bring about Ribui Koyt Shemayim. And I think that goes very nicely with the way we ended Parshas Bereishis but a few moments ago, that a person has to realize in their mission in this world, Ma'oid, 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 how much we could accomplish, how great we could be. And that brings us to the final pshat of Parsha Insights, Parshas Noach. Take a look, please, a little bit later on in the Parsha. Unfortunately, after Noach and his family left the Teva, Noach planted a vineyard, he drank, he became intoxicated. And the pasuk tells us that Chum told his brothers, take a look. Perik Tes, Pasuch of Beis, Vayar Chum saw as Ervas Ovid, the nakedness of his father, of Noach, and he told it to his two brothers. And the pasuk says, Vayikach Shein Vayotis, they took a blanket, a garment, they put it on their shoulders, they walked backwards, they covered their father. And of course, we famously know that shame and yefes for this act of covering their father were aware that Chazal tell us they were rewarded. We know one was rewarded with the mitzvah of tzitzis, the other, and that would be shame and his descendants with the mitzvah of tzitzis, and yefes, it's actually something we read this past about a week ago, Shavdes Cholamoid in the Haftarah by the War of Gog and Magog. It says that Yefes' reward would be at the end of days, his descendants, they would merit burial after the tremendous battle that was described in the Haftarah we read approximately a week ago. Their reward, that of shame, the mitzvah of tzitzis, Yefes, that his descendants would merit burial, that was the reward for what they did in this week's Parsha. Let's ask two quick questions, then give an answer, and with that we'll conclude the shiur. Number one, if you take a look, Rashi famously points out, and I just read you the pasuk, again, if you're looking inside Perek Tes Pasuk of Gimel, Vayikach Shem Vayopes Es Asimu, they took the blanket, they took the garment, but Rashi points out that the word Vayikach is singular. And since we're dealing with two people, more accurately, the pasuk should have said vayikhu. Vayikhu is plural. Vayikach is singular. Why does it say vayikach? They both did it. So Rashi says shenisameitz b'mitzvah yoiser. Shame nisameitz b'mitzvah yoiser. He exerted himself more than yefes. And since he exerted himself more, that's indicated by the word vayikach and not vayichu, to single him out, that he exerted himself more. And one wonders on Rashi, how does a person exert himself more when carrying out this mitzvah? The blanket ostensibly weighs the same. They both picked up the blanket. They both did the act. So how was it that one is nisamit yoiser b'mitzvah? In other words, it's not like the blanket for one was 20 pounds and for the other was 3 pounds. They picked up the blanket simultaneously. So what does Rashi mean that he exerted himself more? In what sense? And Rashi says, therefore it says, Vayikach anad vayikhu. And the other question that Mefarshim asks is that if you take a look at the reward, it seems that there's a tremendous discrepancy in the reward, in the sense that the reward that Shem got was infinitely, infinitely greater than that which Yefes got. What did Yefes' descendants get? A one-time burial. Now, of course, that burial was extraordinary and critical and very important, but at the end of the day, it was a physical, one-time burial. However, Shem and his descendants, they were given the spiritual mitzvah of tzitzis, something that covers the body and is so spiritual in nature. And it's something, the Dairi Dairis, the mitzvah of tzitzis. So why is it that Shem was rewarded with such a far, far greater reward than Yefes was? So we have two questions on the table. I'd like to answer both questions with something that Rapam, once again, it's a pshat from Rapam, and that's why it's so beautiful. The Torah Daso Shashiva Zekasana Koshal Racha says, and with his explanation, we'll answer both questions and then conclude the shir. Rav Pam says that if you take a look, they both went ahead and they covered their father. But the Medrash explains on this pasuk that it was Shem, not Yefes, that initiated the mitzvah. And Yefes then went ahead after and joined him. And then Rambam goes on to speak of a very practical difference, how a person, sometimes there are many projects that need to be done. But a person realizes that they may encounter a headache or a barrier or a hardship. But who's going to go ahead and be the Nachshon Ben Aminadab? There's going to be naysayers, there are going to be critics, but who's the one that's going to be the Nachshon Ben Aminadab, albeit that it may come with a barrier or a hardship, but he's still going to initiate, he's going to courageously step forward and begin the project, and then the other person will jump on the proverbial bandwagon and become part of that undertaking. When we spoke this out on Shabbos Chol HaMoed, we used the expression, the second one's the Nachschlepper. You know, the Nachschlepper, the one, of course, we could call the person simply follower, but why would we say the word follower when we can enjoy saying the word Nachschlepper? Shem is the one that when he did the mitzvah of covering his father, he initiated it. He was the first one. It may have been hard, there may have been a barrier, there may have been difficulties, but he had to act courageously, like Nachshon Ben Aminadab, and he did it! Yefes didn't. Yefes was the follower. And that really answers both of our questions. The second question we asked was, why was it that the reward that Shem was given was so far, far much greater than that of Yefes? Because Yefes in this story was the follower. He was the one. He didn't have any of the second guessing that the initiator may have had, but he went ahead and he was only the follower, and when the person's the follower, that was the one-time reward, the physical reward of the burial. When it came to Shem, he was the initiator. He was the Nachshon Ben Aminadab. He was the one who said that even if the undertaking is a hardship and a difficulty, but I'm going to attempt, I'm going to jump, I'm going to persevere, I'm going to be a leader. And as a result, he was given that spiritual, eternal mitzvah, that of tzitzis. And it also answers the other question. We asked the question, what does Rashi mean? Shenitzamiz biyoter, he exerted himself more. How does one exert themselves more if the blanket or the garment weighs the same? So in what way did Shem fulfill Nesamiz biyoter more than Yefes? I think the answer is what this measure says. Because Yefes was the follower. Shem was the leader. He took the initiative. He was a Nachshon Ben Aminadab. He started right away, even when it was extremely difficult. Shenisamitz b'yoser means that he was the leader, not the follower. He wasn't the Nachschlepper. He was the one who said, although there's a difficult undertaking and a hardship, we will do it, and the Ezra Hashem will get it off the ground and be successful. They both picked up the same blanket. One was the leader, one was the follower, and the leader was credited with Nesamitz b'yoser, a qualitative depth to the act that he took upon himself. And that's very much our mission in this world. We can all be leaders. We can all be people that think of extraordinary things to accomplish. And as we said a moment ago, Be'ezus Hashem, utilize our gifts and our kaychas and our talents. Mayrai v'rabbisai, we lead in our family. We lead in our community. And did I leave out the most important one? We lead ourselves. V'yishmerecha, don't be guilty of stealing from yourself. Because gezeila is why there was the verdict that their world had to be destroyed, but rather we should utilize our koichas and our talents, be the leader, lead our family, lead our community, lead, but most importantly, lead ourselves. May we be zeichet to realize that all that we do and accomplish is toiv. No, not just toiv. Toiv ma'oid, toiv ma'oid, toiv ma'oid. And thereby bring about to the world tremendous ribui, Koid Shamayim Biratim.